Wow, where would we be if God had not shown up in our lives? You know, we try to give good presents, but every gift from God, the Bible says, is good. And hopefully you'll have a Christmas where every gift you get is good, but am I the only one who's gotten a gift that was mediocre? You know, sometimes we give gifts with good intentions and they don't turn out like we thought. Giving gifts is not always easy. All of us have gotten a bad Christmas gift. Hopefully you're just like this little boy and you're nice about it, right? Sometimes we're not quite as nice about it, but our faces let them know kind of we didn't really like the gift that we got. Now, you're laughing. I've got one of my sons. This is what he would want for Christmas because he is a big bacon fan. But there's some gifts that you might look at and say, I'm not sure, you know, if your husband gives you this one, it might not be a good hint. But they do have attachments. You can snow shovel, you can brush things out of the way, and you can rake the yard. Some of you are real music lovers. I'm not sure if this one would go over. Bedroom slippers that have tunes in them, so you can wear them. And, of course, they do have an attachment that you can put them over your head also. Here's one for those of you who love coffee. You know, where you can't, I get up in the morning, man, I got to wake up, I got to get a shower, and I got to have that coffee immediately. Well, here's your solution to that. Some of you are not quite as energetic as the others. Here's a rolling pin that rolls itself forward and backward with just a touch. Here's what every man needs. And I'm talking about a body like Chuck Norris and the ability to do that, not just those pants for $19.99. Some of you are dog lovers. See, this would be a good gift for some people. They would appreciate that. Here's one that I could probably use. This is, temporary tattoo pays. I like this one right here. See? Where I'm thinking, or this one right here, where I've got a good idea. You know, anyway, this is what my wife got me for Christmas right here. I'm not sure exactly what the deal with that is. Do I look better? But I actually feel like, you know, I might could actually go outside wearing this. Now, I know I'm more handsome like this, but no, Greg, really, we're more handsome like this. I'm not going to wear this because I'm afraid it would distract you. As a matter of fact, I'm going to try to hide it back in here because even seeing it might distract you, and I hope that you're not wanting me to put it on and wear it all the time. This is sometimes what I feel I give, and this is sometimes what they feel like when they get it. Sometimes what we plan is not always as good because we really don't know what's inside people's hearts, do we? I don't really know what other people need. As a matter of fact, I really don't even know what I need. But God knows exactly what we need. That's why all his gifts are good. You know, it's funny that we are born and we see these little babies. And even as they go up, we realize that, you know, the little baby knows nothing about the world. It doesn't know what it needs. It doesn't know what it wants. It doesn't know what's good for it. And as we grow, we slowly start to understand more and more about the world. And we start to know more and more about ourselves and how we relate and what we truly need. But God knows who we are from the moment that he starts knitting us together in our mother's womb. And so he gives us wonderful gifts, and of course, John 3:16, by many, is called the greatest presentation of who God is and what he wants for us, the good news or the gospel of Christ. And it simply says, for God, the greatest being ever, so loved with the greatest love that we can imagine, the world, the greatest number of people, that he gave the greatest sacrifice, his only begotten son, the greatest person who ever lived on this earth, that whosoever believes, the greatest invitation and believes the only way to salvation should not perish. And that's the greatest condemnation in life, that we would perish and that we would not know the goodness that God created us for, but have everlasting life. That is the greatest gift that God gives. I want you to just stop and think about this little verse for a little bit. It starts off and it says, for God. And that's the part that we just don't want to forget. How great and how wonderful God is. And how much we need him in this world. And God loved us. God loved the world. You know, it's really difficult. No human being can love the world. As a matter of fact, I know just looking at this, there are some very loving people in here, but no one in here has got the ability even to love all their relatives. We've got some relatives that we love to be with and we love to spend time with, but all of us have got some relatives that we just do not feel the great amount of love for. And they get moved a little bit to the side. Do you imagine that God loves each one of us like we are? And even though we may have some rough edges and even though we may not be able to always act and say the things that we should, God sees the potential in us, doesn't he? He sees who we can be if his Holy Spirit is in our lives and if he's leading us. He loves the whole world so much that he gave his only begotten son. You know, I heard a story of a young kid that was quoting this verse and he didn't quite get it right like sometimes we didn't. And he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only forgotten son. And that's we laugh a little bit about that because we know that that's what the world does, isn't it? It's so easy to forget about the greatest sacrifice ever made. The sacrifice that opens up the door for our sins to be forgiven and for us to have a relationship with the God of the universe who created us and wants us to live with him and for him. That whosoever believes in him should not perish. It is God's desire that each one of us love him back. But God gives us free will because love has to be given. It cannot be taken. Most of us have at least sometime during our high school years fallen in love with somebody that did not return that love to us. Am I the only one that suffered like that? And that's suffering, isn't it? When you really love someone and you really want to be with that person and they just don't find you as attractive as you found them. And that is a difficult thing to endure, to know that you are not completely loved and that that love is not brought back to you. God is the one who loves us just like we are. He sees everything we could be. We are a masterpiece in his eyes. And he wants us to know how much he loves us. And he doesn't want us not to love him back. He wants us to find that ability that we don't go off and we don't lose and miss and perish in the aloneness of life when the love of God is right there at our fingertips. He wants us to have everlasting life. And what is everlasting life? The Bible tells us what it is in John 17:3. This is everlasting or eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God in Jesus Christ who you sent. That's what everlasting or eternal life is. It's when you come into a connection and into a relationship with God that will never end. When you see his great love for you and you respond to love him back, and that bond is forever and it can never be broken. For it is by grace that you have been saved. It's just because of the goodness of God's heart. We didn't deserve it. We didn't do anything to earn it. We weren't even looking for it. We were looking for something besides God to bring us happiness and satisfaction and security. We were looking for love in all the wrong places. And we had turned our backs on God, and yet he sought us out. And he spoke to us because of the great grace and mercy in his life. And when we saw him, we were saved through faith that we didn't even produce in ourselves. He gave us that faith. He's the one who spoke to us. He's the one that came and sought us out and rescued us. And this is not from ourselves. It is the gift of God. And that is the wonderful gift that we celebrate here at Christmas time. There was an ad in a newspaper in Boston several years ago, and it simply said, "To my boy who left home Monday night, September 15th. My darling boy, if you should see this, which I pray our Heavenly Father you may, please let your distressed mother know where you are, mother." It's interesting. She just signed it mother, not even her name. So no one in the world would know who she was. But you take a look at that note right there. It's just the cry of a desperate heart filled with love and yearning and longing for what her child could have. There's no condemnation. There's no blame. There's no mention of who's at fault. It's just the cry of a heart that says, let everything that's happened in the past be wiped away. And just come home and know how much I love you and how much I want you. That's a small picture of God's love. This letter predicts or shows human love. It says, "Dearest Jimmy, no words could ever express the great unhappiness I've felt since breaking our engagement. Please say that you'll take me back. No one could ever take your place in my heart. So please forgive me. I love you, I love you, I love you. Yours forever, Marie. P.S. Congratulations on winning the lottery." You know, we don't want to admit it, but so many times our love really is self-centered. God's life is people-centered, and we're the people. He loves us, and he sees us, and he gives everything, even his own life, to let us know how much he cares and how much he loves us. And if he would give his only son to die on the cross to pay for our sins, then who could separate us from his love? Who could keep us from the things that God has prepared for us before the foundation of the world? For the wages of sin is death. That means separation from God. That means I can be alive in a world that God created in such a spectacular way that anyone who stops and looks around could not deny the miracle of what we're experiencing. And yet somehow be completely unconscious of the fact that he is here. To look at all the wonder of life and not see the wisdom and the love of God to have created such a beautiful place for us to be. The wages of sin is death. We earn that. We work to find our way some other place than where God wants us to be. And the rewards of that is when we separate ourselves and we fight and we struggle to get someplace away from God where we think we will be secure, then we finally get what we wanted, separation from him. But the gift of God is eternal life. Even though we run from him, he pursues us. He wants to connect with us in a way and with a bond that can never be broken through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. We could never describe the mercy and the love or the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Well, let's pray. Father, we are so grateful that you see us. It doesn't matter if we're a 3-year-old child or if we're a 93-year-old man or woman. It doesn't matter where we've been or what we've done. Your heart desires to be in a loving relationship with those that you created. You didn't make us to throw us away. You made us to know you and to love you and to experience the goodness of life that you created for us. You created us with a great purpose, that we might have true self-worth as we see that our lives, like the life of Christ, can be significant. That you can use us to spread your love through generations to generations to generations. And Father, there are many around us, and there's some of us that have been engulfed by the cycle of sin and self-centeredness. We've been drawn away by materialism and by the desire for fame. We've wanted all types of things besides you in our lives, and we have not seen you as our God and as our Lord. And we are just caught in a cycle of emptiness that we inherited from our parents, who inherited from their parents. And Lord, right now, we ask you to speak in our hearts to break that cycle. Connect us to you through Jesus Christ. Open our eyes to see your great love in the gift that came, that we celebrate at Christmas time, that is really about the journey that took him to the cross, that he might die for our sins, that we might know that no matter what we've done, what we've thought or what we've said, you will forgive. You will endure that sin and take it on your back, and you will offer us forgiveness. And so, Father, right now I pray that you will forgive me of my sins, that you will wipe them away with that blood that Jesus died to pay for them, that you will come into my heart, and that your Holy Spirit will fill me with your love and your goodness from today to eternity. And we thank you for who you are. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.